بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله وذا فضل كرم في الله سبحانه وتعالى We continue our discussion of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we had in the past few weeks mentioned that this Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the discussion that we're having is not pertaining masail of Hajj that we have heard many times. But because we did not hear, or very rarely did we hear the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this beautiful journey that he undertook, the intention he made, and how the other Sahaba had joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they embark on this journey, they reach Makkah, the Umrah is made, and en route, the various incidents that transpired, and we discuss how Rasulullah left for Hajj, the Hajj days, Mina, Arafat, and Muzdalifah. From Arafat to Muzdalifah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken with him on the same camel, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an. And I mentioned that Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very fond of him, and he would give him that type of love and affection like how he had given to Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at Muzdalifah. And when he leaves Muzdalifah, he tells Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Now, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, from Arafat to Muzdalifah, he accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the same animal. Then he goes walking towards Mina. And Rasulullah SAW now tells Fadl bin Abbas, and one riwayat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, to pick up some pebbles so that they may pelt the shayateen the next day, the jamarat. So he goes and he picks up some pebbles and he brings it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at these pebbles and he says, "Bi amthari ha'ula." This is the pebbles that we should be using. Pebbles of this nature, small in size. The Sahaba didn't go and start now scraping the mountain and remove any pebbles. The pebbles that were lying around, they picked up those pebbles, tiny little pebbles. And he says, Rasulullah then said, فَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوَّ فِي الدِّينِ. It is imperative that you do not become extreme in deen. You don't over exceed the boundaries, the limitations of Sharia. Sometimes we think that we are doing extra ibadat. This is called ghulu. What we have to do is follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pattern that he showed us. That is the most akmal, ajmal, ashal tariqah, aswab tariqah, the most correct way of life. Anything besides that, what we are doing on our own accord, that is not part of deen, that is ghulu in deen. We are exceeding the limits. And on this occasion, Rasulullah told the Sahaba this, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوَ فِي الدِّينِ. Because the people before you were destroyed for the same reason, that they exceeded the limitations, they went beyond their limitations. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then takes his pebbles, and now Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala joins him. It is mentioned that Fadl bin Abbas, Fadl, son of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, therefore he becomes the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fadl was extremely handsome. وَكَانَ وَسِيمًا. Very handsome. Now as they are traveling, there is a woman from the Khath'am tribe in one narration. Another narration, it is mentioned that some young women were going past. They were also on Hajj. Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was the youngster. So he began to stay at them. Either at this woman who came to ask Rasulullah a question, and other riwayat, there was some woman who were going past. So he began staring at them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed this. فَحَوَّلَ وَجْهَهُ Rasulullah sallam turned the face of Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. And one riwayat says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَضَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ That Rasulullah placed his Mubarak hand and covered the face of Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. He lowered his neck in one riwayat. And somebody asked Rasulullah, why did you do this? So Rasulullah explained. He says, I saw Ra'aytu Shaban wa Shabbatan. A youngster, Fadl. And there was a young woman who came. And I was worried that they might become enticed by Shaitan then. So I was worried that now he'll glance at her, and one riwayat says that the woman was glancing at Fadl bin Abbas as well. And Shaitan could come and spoil the Hajj. Now this is a simple lesson. Fadl bin Abbas was a youngster. And that moment he became overwhelmed. So he looked towards this woman. Rasulullah's teachings, immediately he lowers the gaze of Fadl, turns his face away, covers his face. When you and I go for Hajj also, now it's such a test on us that there are men, women, everybody doing the same thing. We are making tawaf, going to Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafat. So there will be this mixing. As you're walking, those looking for walking Hajj in front of you, there might be one behind you, next to you. And therefore it is important to realize that we are making Hajj for who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person makes Hajj, having true ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is an ashiq of Allah and he is in search of his beloved. And therefore he has donned this ihram, his disheveled hair, and dust has covered his face and body, and he is searching for his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at that moment he is not bothered about any other person. The most prettiest face may come before him, doesn't affect him. And if he is going to be affected, then what does Sharia teach us? That lower your gaze, turn your face away, move away from there. Or think about maut, death. What if maut comes to me? Or think of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, when each person will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a riwayat which says that if people will be raised, every person, or riwayats have been mentioned that people will stand up from the qabr naked, uratan. Naked. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, so much of haya and modesty they had. Immediately she questioned the Rasulullah. Naked. What will happen then to us? So Rasulullah explained to her that nobody will have the courage to look at the next person. Each person will be so consumed and he'll be gripped with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the sun will just be hovering above our heads. In the hadith, one meal is used. So one shari'i mile. 1 mile. Oh, meal is the surma stick. Person uses a surma stick when he applies surma. How small is the surma stick? The sun will be just above our heads. The riwayat, you see, people will be covered with the perspiration according to the sins they committed. So nobody will have the courage to even look at any other person. Like that, think that now it is Qiyamah that is taking place. Or after this Hajj, you are going to pass away, and now you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to make sure that this Hajj you are doing, there mustn't be a speck of sin on it. Your slate must be absolutely clean. It must be pure, white. So Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, this is what Rasulullah did with him, and they continue. On route, some people came and asked some questions on Hajj. Rasulullah then come, فَلَمَّا أَتَى بَطَنَ مُحَسَّرْ حَرَّكَ نَاقَتَهُ They come towards the valley of Muhassar. When they come here, Rasulullah speeds the journey. He hastens a bit until they pass this valley of Muhassar. And he explained because Azab had come down to the previous nations in that area, and therefore It was not good to remain there, lest the azab that came on those people also afflicts us, and therefore Rasulullah moved away. Now we learn from this, that in that environment where evil is committed, then it is important that we should not remain in that environment. Because Allah's azab is coming there. When we go on a holiday, sometimes we're in such an environment with a sharab, there's zina taking place. There are no angels of rahmat coming there. So as far as possible, try and avoid such environments. Move away to another place, another area. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion had gone with sahaba on a journey. We're going to digress because it's important to mention that idea is to draw some nasihat advice from these journeys of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nonetheless, he had appointed, it was a battle they were returning from. They were very tired. It was late at night. So he appoints Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, that, oh Bilal, when it is Fajr, you must wake us up. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala overslept. The sun began to rise. The first person upon whom the rays of the sun shone was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he looks at the sun shining, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. First thing, Bilal, what happened? You didn't wake us up. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala immediately says, Ya Rasulullah sallam, that being who made you sleep also put me off to sleep. You have a good answer. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you sleep, I also fell off to sleep. I tried desperately to remain awake, but towards then I fell off to sleep. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathers sahaba and says, let us move from this place. They went forward ishraq time. Then they make the qada of the fajr. They made it with jama'at also. Whole group misses fajr together. Allah protect us. But this happened to show the ummah how to make qada of the namaz. We are human beings. Nobody did it deliberately. It can happen to all, any one of us. Somebody is sick sometime. Somebody is taking some medication. And then he misses his salat. Of course, not deliberately. Unintentionally. What must he do? How must he make the qada? If Rasulullah SAW and Sahaba practically did not demonstrate that to us, we would not have known. So they read the Fajr Salat. But the point was, he said, move away from this area. It's not a good area. This area is of ghaflat. So like that, he moved away from Batan al-Muhassar, wa asra' al-sayr, hatta ata jamrat al-aqaba. And now they come to the jamarat. Now we know big shayateen, the shayateen, where we're going to stone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mounted on the camel, qaswa, when he pelted the big shaitan, jamra al-aqaba. On each, and right till then, both Abdullah bin Abbas and Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala say, because they were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whichever sahaba with, they said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire journey will read labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, the talbiyah. Right till this point when he came to pelt the shaytan. That's when he stopped the talbiyah, and then he said, Allahu Akbar, or Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, each time 7 stones he had taken, and he pelted the big shaitan. Thumma raja'a ila Mina. After pelting this jamara, now Rasulullah comes to Mina at his tent. According to some riwayats, فَخَطَبَ خُطْبَةً, he gives a khutbah. Ulama say he gave some general advices to the sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba took their places. After that, Rasulullah goes to Ilal Manhar to slaughter the animals that he had brought with him. It is mentioned that Rasulullah made Nahar, he slaughtered 63 animals. The remaining was slaughtered by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. In total, there were 100 animals that were with Rasulullah and Sayyidina Ali. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hafiz Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah mentioned that himself with his own mubarak hands, 63 animals he slaughtered. Then he tells Sayyidina Ali, which whatever animals are left, now you slaughter them. Ulama say 63 animals, and this was the exact age of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left this world, 63 years old. So he made qurbani for his wives and for the sahaba who were there, who had taken the animals. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam istad'a bil halaq. He calls one sahabi to shave off his hair. This sahabi's name was Ma'mar bin Abdullah bin Handala bin Auf. Or Ma'mar bin Abdullah al-Adawi radiallahu ta'ala. Ma'mar bin Abdullah al-Adawi radiallahu ta'ala an. He calls him and gives him his head, the right side first, shaved in the left hand, left side. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Abu Talha al-Ansari. Abu Talha's real name was Zayd bin Sahal radiallahu ta'ala. When the right side was shaved, according to some riwayat, then he tells Abu Talha, Zayd bin Sahal radiallahu ta'ala, take this hair of mine and this is for you. And then the left hand, left side of his head was shaved. He calls Abu Talha, now you distribute this amongst the people. And that is how the hair mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in had. And they passed it on to those after them. Right till this very day, people have the hair mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala had a few strands of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would place it under his topi or his helmet. And in times of war, he would use this hair and he would say, through the barakah of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would gain victory. One battle, his helmet fell off. His topi fell off. And he's searching frantically for his hat. One sahabi said, at this point of time, enemy is attacking us, you worry about a topi? He said, you don't know what I've got in that hat, in my hat. I've got the Baal Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that's a chapter on its own. Beautiful hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is where he gave the sahaba his hair. He gave Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, who was married to Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam labisa thiyabahu wa tatayyab. Now, Jamrat was pelted, the big shaitan. Nahar was made, hair was removed. Rasulullah now wore his normal kurta, came out of ihram. He applied itar, and of course sahaba did the same. Thumma afada ila Makkah. Then they proceed to Makkah. And when Rasulullah comes to Makkah, he makes fatafa tawaf al-ifadah. Tawaf of ifadah is tawaf ziyarat. The actual word was tawaf al-ifadah. Rasulullah makes tawaf ifadah, tawaf ziyarat. Ulama mentioned that he had gone to Hajar Aswad, he kissed Hajar Aswad, then also between Hajar Aswad and the door of the Kaaba is the Multazam. And in this, at the Multazam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his mubarak cheeks, his forehead, his face. He put his chest onto the Multazam, he spread his hands, and this is where he made dua. So of course, those who have the opportunity at Multazam, one should try, if you know, not Hajj time, it is Umrah time. If you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm weak, but I need to get there. Allah ta'ala makes a plan for you, Allah makes a way for you. And when a person gets to Multazam, then you should pour out, make whatever duas you require. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, even our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, whatever dua they made there, the duas were granted. Sometimes a person goes there, as the Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah says, when a person goes there, he becomes awestruck, what dua to make? But he says, when the moment you go there, the crying of the others next to you, immediately it will spur you on to crying. That's the place where you should make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ أَتَى زَمْزَمْ. He came to Zamzam, فَشَرِبَ قَائِمًا. He stood and he drank the Zamzam water. We know the benefits of Zamzam. Ma'u Zamzam. It's a beautiful hadith, very short. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ma'u Zamzam lima shuriba lahu. For whatever niyat a person drinks Zamzam, Whatever intention you have, whatever dua, whatever need you have, and you drink zamzam and you make a dua, that dua will be answered. The dua is guaranteed. The problem is we don't have that yaqeen. We don't have that conviction. We don't have that certitude. So we're just drinking the zamzam. Every time a person drinks zamzam, what's there? You lose nothing in making a dua. There's so many things we require from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama, mashayikh, salafi salihin would make dua for knowledge. They'll make dua for different things. Make dua that a person on the day of qiyamah, he does not get thirsty. We have sicknesses, illnesses, we make dua. Make dua for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma raja'a ila Mina. Then Rasulullah comes back to Mina. Fabata biha. He spends the night at Mina. فَلَمَّا زَالَتِ الشَّمْسِ مَشَائِلَ الْجِمَارِ. After Zawal, then Rasulullah went now, and he pelted the shayateen again, now all three. فَبَدَأَ بِالْجَمْرَةِ الْأُولَى ثُمَّ رَمَى الثَّانِيَ ثُمَّ رَمَى الثَّالِثَ. The first one, then the second and the third. After the first one, Rasulullah pelted, he made dua. Proceeded to the second one, he pelted, he made dua. Third one, he pelted, وَلَمْ يَقِفْ عِنْدَهُ. He did not stand and make dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained 11, 12 and 13 at Mina. وَلَمْ يَتَعَجَّلْ فِي يَوْمَيْن. But it's not necessary to stay right till the third day. 11th and 12th, then person, people can return. The 13th day, Rasulullah remained there, وَأَفَاضَ يَوْمَ الثُلَثَى إِلَى الْمُحَصَّبِ. After the 13th day, after the third day, then Rasulullah came to the valley of Muhassab. He remained there for some time. ثُمَّ نَهَضَ إِلَى مَكَّةَ فَطَافَ لِلْوِدَاء. Then he came back to Makkah and he makes Tawafi Wida. Of course, I mentioned we're going to the Masail of Tawafi Wida, but Rasulullah made Tawafi Wida. And this is when Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, we already mentioned in the first lesson that we had, that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she comes to Makkah, before she entered Makkah, she already had her menses, and now she could not make tawaf of the Kaaba. She felt very low, dispirited. And Rasulullah then tells her brother Abdul Rahman, you take Aisha to Tan'im. And that's, we know, Masjid Aisha today, or Tan'im. They wore the ihram, and then they made niyat, and she comes and she makes an umrah. The places, of course, in the Haram Sharif, almost every place there is a place where duas are answered. Generally, we know, ulama mentioned, time of tawaf, duas are answered. Multazam, duas are answered. Under the Mizabi Rahmat, the spout, duas are answered. Inside the Kaaba, duas are answered. At Zamzam, duas are answered. Behind Maqam Ibrahim, duas are answered. Safa, Marwa, between Safa and Marwa. Arafat, Mina, Muzdalifa. Even at pelting the shayateen, that time duas are answered. Looking at the Kaaba, duas are answered. Inside the Hatim, duas are answered. Similarly, in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Baroza Mubarak, after you make salam, then they face the Qibla, or at one side you go, duas are answered. At the different pillars, duas are answered. Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned the different places where duas are answered, and he said, وَإِلَّمْ يُجَبْ الدُّعَىٰ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أي قبره ففي أي موضع يستجاب. If duas are not going to be answered by Rosa Mubarak, then tell me which other place can dua be answered. Definitely duas are answered. Of course we don't face the Rosa Mubarak and make dua. We face the Qibla, so it's best to move on one side. And of course it's crowds who go out, and wherever you get a place, then you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those are maqamat, places where duas are answered. Allah has kept it, lad. Allah has kept occasions for us when duas are answered. For example, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a sa'ah, a time, an hour, a time in on the day of Jumu'ah when duas are answered. Now, different riwayats have been mentioned, but many muhaddiseen, and they have given a hadith to support their view, that the time just before Maghrib, Qubayl al-Maghrib, Friday, just before Maghrib, duas are answered. So these are occasions and times when duas are answered. We should make good use of these places and maqamat and occasions when duas are accepted. So after this Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hajj is finished. ثم ارتحل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم راجعا إلى المدينة. Then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم now returns towards Madina Munawwara. Ulama mentioned واستصحب معه من ماء زمزم شيئا. He also took with him some Zamzam water. So this is the dalil, a proof for us to bring Zamzam from that Mubarak lands. Not dalil for bringing other things. Other things we have here. So bring the Zamzam water. It is mentioned, كَانَ صَلَّصَمْ يَحْمِلُهُ. He would carry Zamzam water from Makkah and take to Madina. And then, وَكَانَ يَصُبُّهُ عَلَى الْمَرْضَى وَيَسْقِيهِمْ. He would give the sick people to drink Zamzam water. Sometimes apply it on even on the sick patients, sick people. وَأَنَّهُ حَنَّكَ بِهِ الْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. He even gave some Zamzam, or applied some Zamzam on the palate of Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu. How you make tahniq with kajur? Like that he applied to give them Zamzam also. And it is mentioned, وَقَدْ وَرَدَ أَنَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَمَرَ بِاسْتِهْدَاءِ مَاءِ Zamzam. That even he will give somebody a gift also, Zamzam water. So this is Zamzam, such a Mubarak water. We should bring Zamzam from there and drink the Zamzam water and give others also. As it's coming towards Medina, فَلَمَّا طَلَعَ لَهُ أُحُدْ. When suddenly the Mount Uhud appeared, Rasulullah said, هَذَا جَبَلٌ يُحِبُّنَا وَنُحِبُّهُ. This is a mountain, يُحِبُّنَا, that loves us. وَنُحِبُّهُ, we love this mountain. When we go to Medina, we may go for ziyarat, but especially Quba and Uhud, these are two places we should go. No matter how few days we have, Quba, a person goes and visits Quba, reads Surah Al-Salat there, then he gets the sawab of an Umrah. And if you go to Uhud, then the Sayyidu Shuhada there, say Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, the 70 Shuhada who passed away in Uhud, Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala. So many sahaba are buried. So we go and make dua there. Rasulullah sallam went and he made dua also at Uhud. Then Rasulullah sallam, as he's now returning and as he's entering Madina Munawwara, then he read, Aibuna, Taibun, Abidun, Sajidun li Rabbina Hamidun. Aibun means we're returning. Taibun, we're repenting. Abidun, we're worshipping. Making sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a masnoon dua when we are on journey, and now when we are returning from our journey and coming back home. When we are going on a journey and you enter a place, your destination, you reach your destination, then there's a dua to make for barakat. Allahumma barik lana. Allahumma barik lana. Allahumma barik lana. Allah give us barakat. Allahumma rzuqna janaha. Allahumma habib ilayna ahlaha. Wa habib salihi ahliha ilayna. Allah give us barakat. Allahumma barik lana fiha. Allah give us barakat in this place. Allah give us, sustain us with the fruit of this place, the food of this place. Wahabib, and make the people beloved to us, and more especially the pious servants in the town, locality, make them beloved to us. And then when he would return, Wallah, we're returning, repenting, making tawbah. And we are worshipping you, we are making sajda to you, Ya Allah, we are praising you. When they come back, Ummu Sinan and Ummu Ma'qal, and there were some other ladies who could not go for this Hajj. Now obviously, what an occasion they missed. The Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the only Hajj he made after he had made Hijrat. And therefore this Hajjatul Islam, Hajjatul Wida. Wida means bidding farewell. Because in that khutbah, which we're going to discuss inshallah next Monday, if Allah give us tawfiq, the farewell sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the different teachings, advices that Rasulullah gave the ummah. Then they said, عَسَىٰ أَن لَا أَلْقَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا. Perhaps I'll not meet you again. So as though I'm bidding you farewell. Therefore it is called Hajjatul Wida. Now these women folk who could not make it, whoever else was left behind, for whatever reason they could not join, obviously they fell. That they missed such a great occasion. They became despondent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoles them. And he says, "Inna umratan fi Ramadana ta'jilu hajjatan ma'i." Subhanallah. Any person who makes umrah in the month of Ramadan, it is equivalent to making hajj with me. So if you missed it, don't worry. Whenever you get the occasion of making umrah in the month of Ramadan, then that will be akin to making hajj with me. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. This is just the gist of the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful journey it was. 124,000 plus minus sahaba with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah will keep on telling them, khudu anni manasikakum. Learn from me the rituals, the rites of hajj, how to carry out, undertake your hajj. And he practically demonstrated to the sahaba how we should paldash the jamarat, how to slaughter Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafah, du'as. You find that he engaged mostly in du'as and talbiyah. May Allah Ta'ala accept the hajj of all those who are gone, those who are still going. May Allah give all of us tawfiq and hidayat of making a hajj, such a hajj which is hajj mabrur, hajj maqbool. When we come back like newborn babies, completely sinless, cleansed, purified. And this is the problem that we go so many times, but we come back, Allah forbid, not better, we become worse. Why? Because we don't keep in visualizing. We don't have in our minds and our thoughts the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a pure hajj. How the sahaba made the hajj. If Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah, on Monday, it will be the farewell sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Beautiful advices that were given, the rights of man, etc. Inshallah, this Thursday, you'll be having the Hifz Khatam of Hafiz Ahmad Ishaq, who's also the grandson of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali from PE. So he will have his Hifz Khatam this Thursday, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.